The scripture reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, one and all. Our message from this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. If you have been with us since the start of the year, our church is on a sermon series on the book of Matthew. The past weeks, we had the privilege to have a few lecturers from TTC share with us from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Dr. Liao shared with us two kinds of prayers that we make to God. It could either be the arm-twisting, manipulative kind of prayer where we use certain formulas or put on certain Christian behavior so that God can answer our prayers. Instead, Dr. Liao suggests the second kind of prayer, that is the responsive love kind of prayers that we pray to God as Father. And when we pray for His kingdom and His will to be done on earth, we find that we inevitably pray for ourselves too. Last week, Dr. Leonard Wee shared with us about how we are not to be anxious, but to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Once again, pointing out to the fact that we have a good Heavenly Father who provides good things like food, water, and clothes for His children. Dr. Wee also pointed out that we have many things in our lives that we cannot control, even if we worked very hard. He exhorted us to pursue the things that matter to God in God's kingdom, and that God knows our every need. And if we were to seek His kingdom, all these will be added unto us. Today, we will continue to explore what Jesus meant when He called His listeners to ask, seek, knock. Before I begin, let us begin by praying to our Heavenly Father. Dearest Heavenly Father, you who promised to give good things to your children, give us a word from you this morning. We seek to know you more, and we ask that you open our hearts to apply your word in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who do not know, I am about to be a father in April. I cannot say her name, but my wife and I are expecting a baby girl, and we are preparing our room for our little one. By room, of course, I mean the physical room as we set the baby stuff all for our baby girl. But this room could also mean the room in our hearts to be ready to show tireless care and love to our child. I was told by, of course, other experienced parents, to be prepared to have interrupted nights where the baby will need a lot of our attention. I think babies are very famous for crying, and they are not shy to disturb you in the middle of the night just because the baby needs attention. As an infant, she can only cry and hope that someone attends to his or her needs. as our child perhaps grow a little older and develop the ability to talk, our baby will likely ask a lot of questions, asking for a lot of things that she wants, and asking. And as she keeps asking, she will soon perhaps realize that our baby will not always get what she wants. But, I think this one all parents can testify, if she persists long enough, and to some extent, if she annoys us long enough, perhaps we will give in because we cannot stand it anymore, or more likely because we are convinced that our child is ready for her request. What's my point? That children rely on their parents, and that they have access to their parents as well. Access that perhaps no one else in this world have. Any good parent, though tiring, find absolute pleasure in providing and supplying all their child's needs. Similarly, Jesus is also describing what this threefold action of asking, seeking, and knocking to describe the kind of relationship that we should be having with our Heavenly Father. One that is reliant on Him, and to have that audacity to approach our Heavenly Father with anything that we need. So if you allow me, I would like to take some time to expound on the three verbs that Jesus used to help us better understand how we may approach God. Ask, seek, and knock. Let's start with ask. Throughout Scripture, both the Old and New Testament, especially, let's say, in the case of Solomon, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, God says to him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon asked for wisdom to govern his people, and the Lord granted this request. And we all know, don't we, that Solomon was the wisest king who had ever lived. Multiple times in the Gospel, Jesus repeats this formula of ask and you shall receive. Later on in Matthew 18, he says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. And if you continue in Matthew 21, he says, continue by saying, ask in prayer, believing, and you shall receive. This theme of asking and receiving is all over, and you can find them a lot in the book of James and even in the book of 1 John. But what does this mean? If Jesus say, ask for anything and you will receive, then why is it that so many of us have not gotten our pay raise or that promotion? Or, I believe, even myself, that dream holiday that we have been dreaming about? Is the end goal of asking simply to receive what that which we ask? Or is there something deeper that Jesus is trying to point out here? So does this mean we can ask God for things? The answer, yes. Notice that the example used in verses 9 and 10, when a child asks for bread and fish, daily necessities that every good and loving parent will offer to their children for sustenance and for their daily survival. So yes, we can ask for things that we need and the things we should ask from God. But does not any parent know what their child already needs? Which mother here, instinct won't kick in when it's lunchtime or dinner time, and they're concerned about their child's meal? Or which father, which of you, when his child is about to start school, won't know that his child will need a school bag, perhaps new uniform, or even school shoes? And if we, being sinful and forgetful parents, remember these things for our children, Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask. So it is clear that the point of asking is not so much just to obtain the object, that we have requested. Rather, we ask so that we show our parents that we rely on them. We ask because our parents will know what we want. And if they can, I'm sure they will do their utmost best to see that our needs be met. My mum, in particular, loves that I make requests for special dishes. If I make a request for this dish and she knows that I'm coming, she will do her best to prepare this food or this dish so that when I visit her, I get to eat it. So the point that I think Jesus is trying to make here with this parent and child relationship is to point out that we are to ask from God our needs, like a child who is reliant and dependent on Him. Bear in mind that majority of His audience when Jesus was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount were probably full-grown adults who have already outgrown that stage where they ask their parents for things. Perhaps many of them have become independent and have forgotten when was the last time they asked something from their parent. But many of them will also be able to relate with Jesus' illustration as they would have also been themselves parents. And they know what it means when their child asks them for things. So the point that Jesus is making in the first verb of ask is that we can approach God like that of a child who approaches his father. Having established that asking is not about getting what we want, but about this relationship that we can have with God, we can now better tackle the issue of unanswered prayer. The prayers that we have made for many, many years, prayers that we seem so right for God to answer right now, especially for those of us who are facing trials and tribulation. I'm not going to try to say that I understand your struggle or how long you have been praying, because some of the things that you are praying are perhaps really, really suitable for God to answer right now. But at the heart of this question, it is not so much about why I don't get what I want, but whether or not we still trust that our God is a good Father. I remember when I was a young boy, I got into an accident with a bicycle. I even had scars on my legs to remember the accident by. After the accident, my parents were adamant about getting me a bike. I begged and pleaded and told them that I will be more careful, but they weren't convinced. But because if you all don't know me, I'm actually very impulsive in nature when I was a young boy. Actually still. So I decided to take matters into my own hands. I stole a bike from a further away neighborhood. I stayed in Ang Mo Kio at that point, so I think I went all the way to Bishan. I stole a bike from a nearby, from a far away neighborhood and cycled it all the way back. And I parked it a few blocks away from my own house so that my parents wouldn't know. I remember at that point, I felt very proud. Wow, I've devised this scheme and plan that was perfect. But a few weeks later, my mom bought me a kick scooter. And she explained to me that she cannot bear to see me get into another accident and said that she hoped this scooter can replace my desire for a bicycle. You know the emoticon that has the eyes swelling up with tears? That was how I'm feeling now and at that point of time. On one hand, I realized how foolish I was to think that my mom didn't know what I want. But on the other, thinking to myself, why didn't I trust my mom that she has the best interest for me? Good parents are those who know what is good for their child and will not overindulge the desires of their children. They are the parents that will be firm to say no, to to their child because they know what is best for them. The question is not whether or not the child, the question is whether or not the child trusts their parent. So in the first verb, we learn that asking is about trusting and relying on God, our Heavenly Father, who will give us what is best. So even when things don't seem to be going our way, or we are not getting what we want, we can still trust that God is good and that He has our best interests in mind. The next verb is seek. In 1 Chronicles 16, alone the word seek repeats itself three times. And in the Psalms and the prophet Jeremiah, can you guess every time this word is used in the Old Testament, what is the subject that the word seeks to predicate? Is it treasure? Is it seek something you want? Almost every time in the Old Testament, the word seek refers to God. Seek God. Or sometimes you will hear, seek His face. Or seeking God's will. This further affirms our earlier reading that asking is not about obtaining what we want. Therefore, this seeking is also not some wild treasure-seeking quest that promises a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Instead, the seeking is one that is directed to God Himself. Jesus borrows this very familiar Old Testament concept of seeking, and that anyone who seeks the Lord will find. Does this mean we are to locate God geographically or physically? Actually, in the Old Testament, for some of them, it was. But more than often, this term seeking is used synonymously in understanding and seeking God's will. So take, for example, a very famous passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It is clear that this passage is not a clue for us to locate God Himself physically. It is, however, more of a command for His people to understand God's ways so that we can turn from our wicked way. And this kind of seeking, God promises that we will find. So, how do we seek God's will? How do we know how to live in accordance to His design? Could this reason be the reason why there's so many wickedness around the world and so many people not living right with God? The answer to seek God's will, especially for God's will in our lives, can be found in God's Word. It's literally the book that God gave us to tell us of His wishes for us and how He hopes His heart be known by us. In reading the Scriptures, we better understand what pleases God and what upsets Him, what that which gives Him great delight and what God finds detestable. He has already a written will, and it is found in between the pages of Genesis and Revelation. It is of my view that many of us in our prayers to God find ourselves stuck at the first verb of asking. We go to God with our prayers, our requests, and our problems, yes, and God is really very happy to hear them. But we don't seem too interested to hear what God has to say to us in the Scriptures. Our prayers are often a monologue with God. We just tell God our concerns, we tell Him everything, but we do very little to seek and learn what He wants from us. As we speak to God, we are not very interested in Him speaking to us. the more we seek His will in the Scriptures, the more we understand God's heart, the things that matter to God, and God seems very concerned about. And this understanding has a very profound effect in our lives. It will strangely change the way we ask for things. It will transform the way we see things in this world. No longer will we be obsessed with things the world deemed as good, but we'll start to find good in the things that God says is good. The more we conform to God's will, the more we will find ourselves looking very different from our colleagues and friends. You no longer will have to live for the expectation of your parents, your boss, or anyone for that matter, because you are deeply concerned only for what God thinks of you. And if you, like many others here, are struggling with this aspect of seeking God in the Scriptures, ask for help. Tell your cell group leader that you have difficulty seeking the Scriptures. Talk to any of the pastors. You don't know how happy it will make any of us feel when we hear that you want to know more about the Scriptures. The people here, the leaders in AMKPC, are more than willing to journey with you to seek God's will in the Scriptures. But allow me to make it clear. The sequence and its proper order of Jesus' command earlier on in chapter 6 is this. Dr. Leonard Wee spoke to us on this, which is to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these will be added to you. Our priority is to seek God and His kingdom, and He promises to take care of us. Not the other way round. Because if we were to do God's will just so for His things, we end up doing the same thing, the first kind of prayer, when we manipulate and arm twist God. Just because we have fulfilled our Christian duty, we think God has to answer our prayers. I was having this conversation with another Christian when she was sharing with me that some people just use religion or their God to get the things that they want. And they have very little interest in their God, other than the fact that the gods can give them the things that they want. This particular God that I was talking to with this fellow Christian, this God gives away 4D numbers. Jesus' words are clear. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. Fix your attention and your efforts in the matters that matter to God. And just like how He clothed the lilies in the field and fed the sparrows in the air, so will He clothe and feed you. This kind of seeking is the kind that He promises you will find. Because when we seek His will, we seek the Lord as well. And this is the kind that He promises for us to find. Our final verb is knock. This verb is not as common as the verb ask and seek. For those, we can find consistently throughout both the Old and New Testament. But the verb knock is mostly found in the New Testament and almost always implies a sense of importunity. I had to Google what importunity also, what it means. It means persistency. Persistency sometimes even to the point of annoyance. That means you're so persistent until it's so annoying to the other party. And this idea of importunity is taken from a cross-reference from another passage in Luke chapter 11, which also shares the same ask, seek, and knock formula. So if you're interested, you can read from Luke 11. The same ask, seek, and knock formula is said by Jesus in the book of Luke. In Luke's account, Jesus shared the parable of a friend who went to his neighbor in the middle of the night to lend 3 loaves of bread for a guest who came to his house in the middle of the night. and he had no bread to host his guest. Jesus then concludes the parable by saying that though the man who was disturbed doesn't give anything based on their friendship, he will give whatever he needs because of his importunity. The word in our ESV is impudence. In the original language, the word is often translated as either persistent, impudence, and in particular, I like the NIV version, which is shameless audacity. Sometimes the word persistence can be used as a translation, and you will hear sermons or preachers say something like this about the ask, seek, and knock formula. Ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, stressing on the persistency in which we should approach the Father. But I think the two other versions, which is the ESV and the NIV, which is impudence and shameless audacity, is of my view, yes, it can be persistency, but I'm convinced that the distant neighbor didn't just give the bread to his friend because of the number of times that he came or requested, but because of that shameless audacity that he was willing to wake him up in the middle of the night. I'm convinced that it's reasonable to say that the shameless audacity to disrupt someone from sleep got him that three loaves of bread. I think this interpretation of this word supports my own understanding of knocking. When I think of knock, I think of interrupting or disrupting someone else because there's something urgent enough to disturb anybody, another person's privacy. Someone who is bold and confident to disrupt and inconvenience. Simply because this person has this kind of access and permission given, isn't it? So, who can you think of has this kind of shameless audacity to knock and bang at the door so relentlessly because of their own needs? Children. We come back full circle and from the opening of approaching God like a child. Throughout the three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, Jesus is calling us to be like children as we approach our Heavenly Father. Children who show utter and shameless reliance on their parents, and that in our greatest distress, in our greatest need, we need not book an appointment with God and be put on a waiting list. We can just go to God anytime, anywhere, any way we are. Because He loves us and because He is a good Father and will always give that which is good to us. In closing, I'd like us to take a look at this child who prayed. He prayed to God because he understood his identity as a child of God. He continually seeked the Lord and his will, even to his dying moments. And this child didn't just knock on heaven's door. He cried and was all alone when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. This child is our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout Jesus' life, we see that he had a very active prayer life. We know of Jesus waking up early in the morning to pray. We read of Jesus praying in the midst of doing ministry, sometimes asking the Father to provide for people. He knew that all things on earth had to be given by his Heavenly Father. And we know that Jesus was also a man of scripture. His conversations with people were almost always filled with scripture. His prayers were too filled with scripture. He was someone who prayed the scriptures. Even when he was on the cross and when he was about to die, the very words that came out were from Psalm 22. when he felt forsaken by God. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear Jesus pray his most famous prayer. In his anguish and despair, Jesus asked his Father to take the cup from him. This means that he wants these things to pass. He's asking God, if you may, can I not go through with this, which is what's going to happen on the cross? But we also hear in that same breath that Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. And because of God's will being done, Jesus' death and resurrection has opened the door for each one of us here and every one of his children to have access to God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus didn't just teach us to ask, seek, and knock. He was also that child who asked his Father, seek the will of God, and knocked on God's door perpetually. Every opportunity that Jesus could. I've listed down some reflection questions in the bulletin that I thought we can take some time to reflect and consider. If you do not have it, I can read it to you, or you can use it to consider later. The first question is, take some time to take stock of all the good things your Heavenly Father has given you. Second question, like a child who has access to his Father, how would you fare your relationship with God? And the third, are praying the scriptures something that is embedded in your own prayers? If not, would you consider starting with the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13? Just as Jesus was a man that prayed the scriptures, I thought the best place for us to start is with the one that he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. In conclusion, we ask not because the goal is about obtaining what we want, but because of our relationship and dependence on God, like a child depending on his father. We seek the Lord himself in understanding his will. And where better to find his will other than the written will itself, the Bible? And we knock shamelessly at God's door, not because God didn't hear us the first time, but because God gives us access and his doors are always opened to us. So knock anytime, anywhere, and any way you can. There's no secret method to God in prayer or a magic number of times that we have to pray that God's heart be eventually moved. His heart is always for you. Our Heavenly Father always hears, always responds, because you are always loved. Let us pray. Can I invite all of us to bow our heads? And I would like to give us some moments to ask, seek, and knock. Go to God with your cares and your woes, what that which is troubling you and causing your heart to be heavy. Tell him everything. Take some time to listen to. Is he saying something to you this morning? Did God reveal his heart and his will to you this morning? Hear from our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.